glad that you're here today. A beautiful day that we can worship and praise God. And just want to cover any announcements as before we start worship. Yes, one. Thank you. All right, we'll cover all the bases.
And following up with her on the bazaar, if anyone has baked goods and you can't make it down on Saturday and you want to bring them Friday evening, I'll be over there from 6 to 8 on Friday evening. So if you want to come to the fire hall and drop them off, I'll be around there from 6 to 8.
Great. Thank you, Jerry.
Just a reminder, the cleaning schedule is back there for the next 3 or 4 months.
If you could take a week to clean the church, that would be very helpful. Sign up sheets back there as well. And also, that same Saturday is the disaster auction in Westminster. It's a great opportunity to see some folks in the district and support disaster efforts. And so keep that in mind. And there are booklets there in the back that you can pick up that gives some details about the auction. Our church ad is in that booklet as well. Any other announcements? Yes.
This really is an announcement, but it's nice to see our snowbirds back.
Welcome to the Anders.
I thought I was going to have to go down and force Ronnie.
Or help them. Yes. Well, all right. Let us begin our worship with this prelude. Call to worship comes from Psalms 150 today. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbre and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Father in heaven, we do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to gather publicly here in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather freely, and we ask that you might move in a mighty way. And so, Holy Spirit, come and be with us and help us to worship you and to praise you in truth. It's Spirit. And we ask, Father, that your name would be glorified, lifted up, as we draw closer to your word, Lord. Pray that you would illuminate the scriptures for us and help us to serve you in the week ahead. And so have your way in this hour, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with me and join in singing hymn number 131? I had asked Sister Teresa if she wouldn't mind singing next week, and unfortunately she is not able to be with us next week, so she agreed to come today and to share with us in special songs. So look forward to her sharing.
I think I'm ready. That actually scared me. I thought it was the music.
You see, I feel better if we're small in somebody's face.
Always. Okay. I hear it somewhere.
Something coming through your phone.
Okay.
That doesn't need to turn on, does it? Because if anybody's dusting or whatever, it might, is that a bad thing?
Wait a minute, let me check.
I have it on one.
You got it?
I have that one.
Oh, he's got, yeah, he's got
it on. It's a little switch on the back of it. Very, very small.
He's got it on. Jerry's got it on.
If your phone's plugged in, it should be through the line in, right?
Yeah.
So why is it playing on your phone?
I have no idea.
Does it not recognize the plug?
I don't know. It should be fine.
dip to home. And Teresa is saying we'll have a nice entertainment here.
Hey, Jeff, can you maybe take the case of the phone off? Maybe we just need to take the phone case off, and then it'll plug in more. Sorry, Teresa.
That's okay. That's the Lord teaching us patience.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Thank you, sister. That's one of our favorite worship songs. We have a chance to share together that which on our thoughts and minds here, our joys and concerns. Who has something that they'd like to share? We're calling Nancy first.
I just want to thank everybody for prayers for our safe return. Traffic was awful.
Thank you. Bob?
Those two were on my list too, for being having prayers and being back home safe and sound. And seeing them once again, they're still as beautiful as ever. Just happy to have them back. Of course, my prayer concerns there again. Of course, it's for Ralph and Deb and for Jeff and Sarah over here and for you, Tracy, and your family and for your retirement. Hope everything goes well. We'll miss the Dickens out of it.
Little sound.
Buddy and Wilma, the Ukraine situation, Jerry with his knees and our country and its leaders. Well, our country and its leaders, they need a lot of prayer. And Danny and Kathy. Linda has had a few problems, and Carol Simpson's come along good with her thumb. Of course, Steve with his back, and Faye, and Frank and Pat, and just the church in general. But we have one great joy. Our son Larry had his surgery on his colon this week. Nearly 8-hour surgery, and he's doing fine. He was up in the chair. It happened Friday. He went all day. He was up in the chair last night and gave us a call and sounded great. And so we just want to
praise God.
Thank God for the good works and sustaining him and lifting him up. And the many prayers that was offered in his behalf.
And continued prayer for healing.
Thank you.
Others, yes.
Continue Ricky and Alan on the prayer list and our school board.
Great. Yeah, great.
Yes, Faye?
Dolores Wolf called this morning and she said she'd like to have prayer. She's really gotten her back real bad from moving. We went down and helped her move on Monday. And she's going to go see a doctor tomorrow.
Okay.
But she wanted to reassure Wanda and everyone she will be here next Sunday. So, and she'll make sure she has potato salad.
Bless her heart.
Amen.
Moving is a big stressor. Big effort.
I'd like to continue my list, but a joy we got. I got to visit another one on my list yesterday who has cancer and going through situations right now. She's still, her name is Priscilla, and she still needs to be kept in prayer.
Thank you.
I want to continue to remember several of them in our development that's been having health issues and so forth. And the Lord knows who they are. I'm not going to mention her name, but 9 times out of 10, people here would know him. The Lord knows who it is.
Thank you.
And Joe, he seems to be getting along much better. He's improving. I was able to settle on the porch yesterday and socialize with him a little bit while he's white mode.
Yes, Doris in the back.
Yeah, I
Okay. Somebody prayers here for good results.
I just like to keep my prayer list, but also I just like to, I know I challenge you all in prayers a lot, and you probably get tired of it, but I just, that's heavy on my heart, because I think that's one of the tools of us warriors for him is prayer. And I asked you to pray over this booklet of the families, you know, get a spark growing there, and I hope you have been doing that. You know, most of our congregation, I bet 9/10 of our congregation is retired. And although we're retired, that doesn't mean we have a lot of time. I realize that. But we can surely take 10, 15 minutes out of our day and make our prayer requests to him. So I'm challenging you now, not only for the people in this booklet, that they get a fire within and a burning to come and serve and worship him. We're going to have a tremendous loss here for Pastor Tracy. Mm-hmm. He has been our shepherd for the last 8 years. And tremendous, not only to us older people, he has been to the children too.
Amen.
So my request is that each and every one of you put it upon your hearts to pray and ask the Father to send us a good shepherd, a strong
Amen.
Shepherd, one that will revive the spirit among us, just as Paul, just as Peter, just as James, to take Pastor Tracy's place. It's, you know, we have a lot of, you know, people out there to help to do a sermon or whatever, but we should know as the members here that you need that one go-to shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a problem, that you feel comfortable talking with that shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have people coming in and out every day, every Sunday, and I know it's good to hear all different types of sermons. It is. It's wonderful. But we need a strong go-to leader, shepherd. So please, please, please take at least 10 minutes a day. Pray for those in this booklet and pray that the Lord sends us a good shepherd.
Amen.
Thank you, sister. Well said. Also, I just want to bring greetings from Marie Brown. A couple of years ago on Easter, Marie came and shared with us, and she's a missionary and works with the Far East. And they had that prayer breakfast yesterday at the Duchess Daughter. I got to see her presentation and update on the people that she's working with in the various countries. And so there's lots to report, but I just wanted to pass on that things are doing well, even in the midst of COVID and great challenges in other countries. Christians are sharing and people are being saved. And so it's just wonderful work. So keep Marie Brown and her associates in your thoughts and prayers as well. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, and we invite you to kneel or to remain seated with your head bowed, and we'll close then with the Lord's Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come boldly into your throne of grace. And thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of the past week. We are mindful, Lord, that we are blessed. We have so many things to be thankful for. And God, we just want to extend to you our gratitude, our heartfelt thanks for health, for family, for friends, for jobs, for all the blessings of life, for the blessings of this season, the spring, the flowers, the warmer temperatures. God, you are good. And we acknowledge your greatness this morning. We know that you're a good Heavenly Father and you love to provide for your people. And so we just bring these concerns that are mentioned by name here, these folks that are on our lists. Lord, we pray especially that you be with Danny Kathy right now in the hospital, and pray that there be good results there. We pray, Lord, for continuing healing for Larry and following his surgery. We pray, Father, that you be with Priscilla. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless those that have had symptoms and problems. We ask, Lord, for health, for wholeness, for healing, for reduction of pain. We pray that you'd be with Sister Dolores and help her, and pray to help her to get everything settled following her move. We pray, Lord, for our world. And so, God, we just ask that you would especially be moving in places like Ukraine, in Syria, in Africa, where there's great turmoil. Lord, we pray you would show yourself strong. Thank you for those that are going to help, for those that are providing help. We pray, Lord, that people would see you in the aid that is given and received, that they would soften their hearts and that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, pray for our leaders. Help them to make right decisions that affect so many in our world today. We ask, Lord, for local leaders, for our school board, and for those that are in positions of authority, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would surround them with good counsel, help them to have the information that they need to make wise decisions, help them, Lord, to have the courage to follow through, and that those decisions would not conflict with your word. God, we ask that you would just move in our congregation. We thank you, Lord, for this little directory and all the names are in it. And we pray a special hedge protection around each one, each family. Would you, Lord, Holy Spirit, set a fire in their hearts, Lord? We pray, Father, that you might already be working and providing for the leadership of this congregation. And so pray that you would be with us in the interim. And we ask, Lord, that your will be done. God, we are mindful of so many things this day. We know that you water the earth, its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. And so as we enter into a time of gardening, Lord, we pray a special blessing for the seeds that are sown. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way and providing food for the table, meet the needs all across the land, Lord. Thank you for our farmers. Thank you for those that till the land and harvest the crops. Provide to have the food on the shelves that we can purchase and to eat and enjoy life's bounty. God, have your way in the day in which we live. And so teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you to turn again now into your hymnal, and it is page number 203. Join me as we stand to sing.
Jesus is very near.
Our scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Then the same day of evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other things, other signs, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray for me, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear again this post-resurrection experience. Thank you for your word. And we ask that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts and minds would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, our Redeemer, our Lord. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Wasn't it a good Easter? We were unable to have our traditional family gathering. Our family's kind of spread out now in Pennsylvania and Tennessee, and because of their jobs and situations, weren't able to get home, but we did get to visit via technology. We had mailed them each a box, their Easter basket treats, and so then when they received the boxes, then they called us on Easter and opened their boxes, and we were able to watch them open their treats, and so we still had a little family time thanks to cell phones. We also still had our family egg hunt at home with Ethan and his girlfriend, and the two of them had fun finding 9 dozens of eggs. You know, it doesn't matter how old they are, they still like an egg hunt. And of course, as the years have gone by, there's less candy and more money in the eggs. We have Easter as really a joyous time, and it's a family time, and we still wanted to make a fun time, even though they're older. Easter isn't quite over yet, though. Today is the Orthodox Easter celebration. Resurrection Day continues to be celebrated on 2 different dates, depending on the Catholic and Orthodox traditions. In rare occurrences, dates align and fall on the same day, being celebrated simultaneously. But for the most part, us here in the United States, Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox. And that falls between March the 22nd and April the 25th. So Easter was just about as late as it could be this year. While Orthodox Easter is celebrated on the Sunday after the full moon after Passover. Passover is usually between April the 4th and May 8th. So Passover could be later, but sometimes it falls very close to one another. Part of the reason for the differences between the two traditions is that the Catholic Church still uses the Gregorian calendar for our holidays, and the Orthodox Christians use the old Julian calendar. Today, our lectionary scripture continues with John's account of the events following this first Easter morning. I don't think that I have ever preached on this text here at Monocacy before, so I thought it would be good for us to continue our look at the Easter occurrences following last week. John's gospel here includes several appearances of Jesus following his resurrection, and he wants to convince his readers that the events that have taken place are true and that they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to hear again the last part of this chapter that he says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book." Can you imagine if we had recorded everything that Jesus did? Wow, wouldn't that be interesting? But John wrote enough about what Jesus did in order for us, these things are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, if you have the Pew Bible, if you wouldn't mind opening up to page 1250 and page 1251, just kind of hold that because we want to come back to that. But look again then what he says at the end of chapter 21, the end of his gospel. Chapter 21, 25. In 24 it says, "This is the disciple who testified of these things," he's talking about himself, "and wrote these things that we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. Can you imagine our libraries would be full of the things that Christ has done? But these few things John wrote in his gospel to convince us that Jesus is who he says he is. These things actually did happen. And the resurrection did take place. And his appearance to others following his death on the cross is evidence that he is alive. As we talked about last week, his first appearance was to Mary Magdalene, and we focused on those verses in the first part of chapter 20, and we got a chance maybe to see a little Easter from her, through her eyes. Jesus really kind of goes counterculture here on us. He appears to the women first. The first word that is spoken in the tomb was woman. He uses the women and comforts the women that had been following him and part of his group as a way of sharing the good news, to be the first ones to tell that they had seen him and he was alive. Today, John goes on then and talks about another appearing of Jesus to the other disciples. And you notice that they are in closed doors because of fear. Dr. Jeremiah's message this morning in Sunday school was about the giant of fear. And so here they are fearful of the Jewish authorities. If they killed Jesus, my goodness, what are they going to do to them? And so they're in hiding. They're in fear, properly locked up behind bolted doors for fear of the Jewish authorities. They could even maybe face crucifixion themselves. Very painful and terrible way to die. And they were still mourning, thinking that Jesus was dead. They were still mourning the loss of their leader. And they were also still celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so all those folks that came to Jerusalem for the Passover would still be in the city. The city would be bustling with people, and people everywhere, people sharing their homes, lots of people about. But in all this chaos and confusion, here the disciples are huddling together, buckling down behind closed doors. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And I want you to think about that now a little bit. His resurrected body was not subject to locked doors and to walls. The doors were locked. I mean, they were bolted. Okay, the only way you could secure a home in Jerusalem at this time was there was huge iron holes that that you would put a bolt down through after you went in for the night. Jesus, they didn't unbolt the door. He didn't knock on the door. He was just suddenly there. He wasn't there, and now he's there in their midst. And the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." This was a standard Jewish greeting, much like our God bless you today. This was the usual greeting, shalom, shalom be with you. And so Jesus is trying to calm their nerves. They're not sure what they're seeing at this point. Is this a ghost or what? And so he shows them his hands and his scars, his wounds, to identify himself. Interesting, at this time in history, wounds were sometimes shown as evidence in court cases. If you happened to get beat up or if you were assaulted in some way, when you went before the judge, you would show the judge, you know, look what they did to me. and so they were sometimes used to bring evidence. But here they're used to identify. And the same Jesus who was died is now alive. In Jewish tradition, the dead that were resurrected came back in the same form in which they had died before. They were healed so that everyone would recognize that the person who stood before them was the person, the same one who had died. Notice too in these words here that John writes that he showed him his hands and his side. The word hands here would include the wrists. And so actually the nail wounds from the cross would be about here, would go through, they would have nailed the hands together onto the cross through here. Had they put it in here, the weight of the body would not sustain, and it would pull through and tear the hand. And so this was the only way to get behind this bone, the wrist bone, in order to support the upper part of the body. And so when he showed him his hands, they would be seeing the marks in his wrists and the side where the spear had gone through. And so these were very important ways to identify him as being Jesus, the one that was crucified. There's another appearing then that John talks about in this a little bit later here is appearing to Thomas. Unfortunately, Thomas wasn't there for whatever reasons, and so he missed out on seeing Jesus. And so Jesus returns. This is 8 days later in verse 26. It says he appears about a week later, and the group is together again. Thomas is there this time, and Jesus returns to, I think, specifically just to show himself to Thomas. and then we also have John's account in 21. Hopefully you can read this later for yourself. In 21, he goes on, and Jesus appears then in Galilee. And this is Jesus' home area. His headquarters was in Capernaum. And so Jesus wants to nail down, so to speak, make sure that his disciples are firm in their beliefs and the lessons that he taught them in the place that he taught them. And so this is the third time that he showed himself to his disciples. I like that, three. Three. And so today I want to share with you three R's. When we think of three R's, we might think of education. You know, the three R's of education in public schools that were taught was reading, writing, and arithmetic. Writing and arithmetic don't start with R, but there's an R in them. So that used to be the traditional thing, was the reading, writing, and arithmetic. We had, at our Christian school, we had writing was kind of a big deal when they were in the elementary grades. And so they had to learn to write cursive and all that kind of stuff, and it was part of their grade. Today, I don't think they do that in public schools. Don't worry so much about writing today. You just push a button and electronically you can sign your name. We have filled out our taxes again this year. You know, the tax lady sent us our forms and we electronically signed our name off. And everything was just sent electronically to IRS. Well, unfortunately, schools today are not like they were before. brothers and sisters in Christ, schools is not like what you had when you were young. Schools are really different. I can remember getting in trouble for chewing gum in class. Now students take guns and shoot fellow classmates. Used to get in trouble for talking back to the teacher and get a spanking, and then you'd be worried that you'd get another spanking when you got home. Things have really changed, and we don't want to belittle our teachers. Praise God for good Christian people who are in the public school system trying to make a difference, trying to change lives. But the new mandates on gender equality and the educational experiments that they're performing, the changing philosophies in education really is trying to create a new citizenship for the future world order. And it is, I think, imperative that we understand what's going on today. Solomon, the wisest man to live, said a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's in Ecclesiastes 4:12. A threefold cord is not easily broken. One strand you can tear, but when you have three strands together and it makes a cord, it is not easily broken. And I believe that that is the home, the church, and the school. If what you teach your children at home is reinforced at church and in Sunday school, these values and beliefs, I think, will stick with them in life. And they may stray from a time, but it says in the scriptures that when they were old, they will return to them. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in the New Testament, we're told in Ephesians 6:4, it says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I want to say something that I probably have said in reference to before, but I want to make it absolutely clear. I'm not usually one that will make a public political statement, but I want to say this as strongly as I can. If we are going to save the hearts and the minds and the souls of the next generation, they have to be taught at home or in Christian school. Young parents cannot expect their children to have the same values and beliefs of them if they send them to public school. And whatever sacrifices you have to make, it is very critical. It is crucial. Years ago, I attended a pastor seminar, and this was not just the brethren. This was not just one denomination, but there were hundreds of pastors there. And I heard said that time, that at that time, and this was a couple decades ago, that Satan just about had his noose around the church, just about ready to pull the noose tight on the church. And the only thing that saved the church was the homeschool and Christian school movement. And we've had several decades now, and they know how to do that well. With the technology that we have, parents can be equipped to teach their kids at home. And if you can't do that, the next best thing is to send them to a good Christian school. Now, I want to emphasize, even though, you know, we chose to do that, it is imperative. Our kids today, which are young men, have said on a couple of occasions that they were so thankful that we sent them to a Christian school. And I can tell you it was difficult. We're still living in a starter home. We're going to make that a retirement home now. We didn't have new vehicles. And we wondered how we're going to make the tuition. But we did. And there were times when I was out of work where the Christian school came through and said, we'll pay the tuition this month until you can. And so, in a setting, a smaller setting, our kids got the kind of education that we would have had when we were coming through. Schools were smaller then. Classroom sizes were smaller. They had the connection with other students. Wesley's best friend They were in school all 12 years together, and he was his best friend at his wedding. So they build lifelong friendships. And it doesn't say that it doesn't happen in public school, but the values that were taught in school emphasize the values that we taught at home and emphasize the values, same values that were taught in Sunday school. And I think that makes a good, strong cord for what's coming. We simply cannot give up our children and grandchildren on the cultural war that's taking place. There is a cultural war, and the church is losing. And in order for us to win the spiritual battle, we need to be aware of what's going on. And so you can help encourage your children and grandchildren. You can make an investment in their education, but maybe paying the tuition one month. You can do the things to help your kids and grandkids get the kind of education that they need. And we cannot just simply allow it's free public schools. We pay for it through our taxes. But I want to encourage you to think strongly about that. Now I'll get off my soapbox and come back to the three R's that I want to share today. And the three R's are rejoice, receive, and reach. Three after Easter R's: to rejoice, to receive, and to reach. The first, rejoice. Verse 20, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine that moment of rejoicing? The grief that you went through, thinking that he was dead and all that had been lost, and then all of a sudden there he is. They were glad. They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. We just celebrated the greatest season on the church calendar. It was Lent, Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter morning, sunrise. What a beautiful sunrise we had this year. We should rejoice and be glad. This is our time. Now, we have love feast together. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive and he is coming again. And if you looked in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, you know that he wins. And we win with him. We will share in his victory. We have all eternity to look forward to. So what a blessing that is. If we believe that Jesus is Lord, we should rejoice. If we've seen the Lord with our own eyes, eyes of faith, we should rejoice. If we know that he is alive in our hearts and he's coming again, rejoice. Regardless of what the chaos is around us, regardless of what's happening in the world, we can rejoice and be glad because we serve a risen Savior. The second thing, second R here is receive. Notice in verse 22, he says, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit? When we have baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Acts 19. I'd like to read a portion here of Acts 19, kind of ties in with this. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism, John the Baptist. Then Paul said, John's indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. This is Paul, went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And so, have you received the Holy Spirit? When you were baptized, we had laid hands on you and asked God to fill you with His Spirit. And so you received the Holy Spirit at that point. But there's also then a feeling of the Holy Spirit. You know, unfortunately, as human beings, we leak. And we need a fresh feeling of the Spirit. And sometimes we get that at revival. Sometimes we get that maybe in a meeting that we're in. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit encourages us in a certain way. We have an encounter. Maybe we're reading the scriptures and something there just kind of leaps off the page at us. We need a feeling of the Spirit. And so we can ask God to refill us and to help us in the walk of faith. The third R is reach. Reach. Then he said to Thomas in verse 27, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now Thomas gets a lot of grief. When you hear the word doubt, who do you think of? Thomas. Doubting Thomas. But really, that's not maybe quite the case. He gets a lot of press for this moment. But he was a very faithful disciple in following Jesus for those 3 years. And he's still with the disciples following their crucifixion. He's still with the part of the group. I like what one commentator says. Only the evidence of his senses could persuade Thomas that the other disciples had not seen merely a phantom or an apparition, a ghost or a spiritual vision as in pagan tradition, or an image produced by a magician would not be corporeal. The resurrection body, by contrast, was clearly corporeal. Thomas does not doubt that his friends think they saw something. He doubts only the nature of their experience. He wasn't quite sure. He thought they saw something, but he wasn't sure what it was. And so when Christ appears here now with Thomas, he immediately recognizes that it's Jesus. He says, my God, my Lord. He recognizes the authority and the power of Jesus. Do you see Jesus as God? When we say Lord, that means so much. More than just King, He's our God. Pliny, early governor writing near the location of John's readers about 2 or 3 decades after the crucifixion, reports that Christians were singing hymns to Christ as to a God. He made reference in one of his historical writings that these Christians, when they get together, they sing to Christ as he's a God. He is a God, right? Note that the text here doesn't record that Thomas actually touched Jesus. He didn't actually put his finger in Jesus' hands. He didn't actually put his hand in Jesus' side. All he did was he looked. He saw and he believed. He said, oh my God. My God. You are God. You are the Son of God. You're my Lord. And notice that Jesus also really pings this onto Thomas. When Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said these words about, oh, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. But when Jesus appears, he speaks the very words that Thomas spoke. Put your finger here. Put your hand here. These are the same things that that Thomas said earlier. And he's called to reach out. Reach out and believe. Stop being unbelieving and believe. What more evidence could you want? What more could I do than what I've done? And so I think we too are called to reach out and to believe. We are called to reach those lives that we can touch. And the lives that will be touched because of our lives. To rejoice, to receive, and to reach out. The testimony of John here is an eyewitness Remember, John saw Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He saw Jesus die on the cross. Jesus handed over Mary to him to look after my mother. And he writes, truly Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Christ there means God, Lord. Jesus is God, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. Three after Easter R's. Rejoice, receive, and reach. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to those that you can save. Pull them out of the fire, as Jude writes. But to reach out, to touch people's lives. And in touching their lives, they may see him as well. They may believe as well. They come to know him as Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus reigns. He is coming again to rule the earth for 1,000 years. What a glorious reign that will be. And we will be with him for all eternity. You know, each Sunday is to be a little Easter. Easter's not over. It's just starting. And we're on the side that wins. Praise be to God. The good news is still good news. And so, rejoice. Receive and reach out. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lamb of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We praise you as we celebrate this Orthodox Easter. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to rejoice in the resurrection, to receive the Spirit, and to reach out to others. May your blessing be on those who have not yet seen, but believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close our service by standing and singing hymn number 400.
Multiply to
Now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Happy Orthodox Easter.